Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, February the 2nd, Groundhog Day 2012. Joining us this afternoon. Notice I'm not taking that any further.
Yeah.
Hand off the weapon. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. How you doing, guy?
Doing well, thank you.
It's good,
been
good.
Great weather today.
Man. Yeah, I know, kind of scary.
I know.
When it's like this, I keep thinking payback.
Well, and I keep thinking, why am I in here? I should be outside.
Well, that's kind of a common thought, I believe.
Yes, it is.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about a couple of different things. There's some proposed activity that will be going on with Occupy Humboldt tomorrow evening.
Yes.
So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that. Also, some of the legislation that's going on at Sacramento. It has nothing to do with redevelopment, but it has stuff to do with cops, so we'll talk about that also. As well as water diversions. It's something that, well, a little bit more prevalent than what you might anticipate or imagine is going on in the area. Sometimes the sheriffs are involved in the center of it, and sometimes they're not, but they get to deal with repercussions.
There you go.
In either way. So we'll talk about that also when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 416. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Henry Ford. Quote, failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently.
Very good. We can all ascribe to that.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh. So, should we start the show over?
No? I think we're doing all right.
All right. So far, okay. So good.
Yeah.
Occupy Humboldt. The whole occupation thing is kind of intriguing. It appears to me like what the news reports are saying, Washington, D.C., Oakland, a lot of these folks that have been overly tolerant, more than tolerant, whatever you want to call it, are now fed up.
Yes.
I know it's outside your jurisdiction, but well, it's outside your front door, too.
Yeah.
Is Humboldt getting to the point as a community of saying, okay, it's time?
I think in some respects, yes. You know, what is happening is that I personally believe that the actual occupiers left a long time ago. And what we have now are what we see, and you know we work at the courthouse, my deputies and I, and I think Eureka Police Department is seeing the same thing. We're seeing a lot of what we know as homeless transient types that have piggybacked onto this movement. I think there are still some Occupy people that are there with that same message, but the message changes a lot too. And what we're finding, especially at night, are people that we're used to seeing in the course of our duties as transients or homeless people now camping and trying to take advantage of the movement there at the courthouse. So I think people are fed up. I mean, some of the things I hear around the courthouse is not only employees of the county, but also people coming to conduct business at the courthouse are now coming around to the 4th Street side so they don't have to go in on the 5th Street side because of the sometimes a gauntlet they have to go through to get in. Planning Commission meetings on Thursday nights. We've had complaints about different issues then also with the Occupy movement out front. So I think people are to a point where they're saying, okay, and I think you've seen this nationwide. You've made your point. It came to a national forefront. People are aware of what you're talking about. And I've even heard some people quoted as saying that we're part of the movement in the beginning, saying we've done what we set out to do. It's time to move on to some other type of action to get our point across. This is now completed. But it doesn't seem to be resonating throughout the rest, you know, from different groups.
In Oakland, it was next step was called Occupy Buildings.
Yes.
Have you had any reports either of plans to or of actual occupation of unoccupied buildings in Humboldt County?
Well, we've had somewhat publicized within the group, we're going to do a take back this day or this day, and we're going to we're going to go into the courthouse and we're going to occupy that. That has not happened. I do know that there, a few weeks ago, Eureka Police Department responded to a house near the courthouse where it was a vacant location, and they actually arrested six or seven people that were identified themselves with the Occupy group that had occupied this house because it was out of the weather. And but as far as any buildings in Eureka, it hasn't really happened yet as far as occupying a building.
Anything going on out in the county? Or is Eureka the only one that's still currently active?
Eureka is the only one that's active. In fact, all of Northern California, I just came from a state sheriff's meeting last week. I don't think Northern state sheriffs, I didn't hear any of the other counties mention anything about an Occupy situation. You know, Shasta would be the probably the largest county out of that group, and then us, and Shasta County's not having any issues. It seems to be Oakland and San Francisco. I don't even think Sacramento's having an issue with it.
So Mendocino's clean, down low.
Yeah, Mendocino.
Nobody in the neighborhood.
Right, right. No one else is having the issues that we're having.
So why the additional tolerance in Humboldt County?
I don't think it's an additional tolerance. I think it's a prevailing acceptance or attitude for Humboldt County. We've always had a more liberal bent on things and a willingness to accept different ideas. And I think in the beginning, there was not a big issue with most people having a legal protest or showing of support for a cause, but it went well beyond that. And I think once it started, it was hard to turn the train around, basically. And that's kind of what we're dealing with now. I know.
Where'd you get that metaphor?
Yeah, stay on track.
Normally it's a boat.
Stay on track with me here.
If you try and turn the train around on the track, it will take just a little bit of time. KINS, News and Information Time, 422. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Made my point.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 425. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, if the occupation is kind of, I wouldn't say fizzled, perhaps languishing might be a better phrase.
Okay.
Are you hearing anything that the community is now tired of it? Not the law enforcement community, but the lay community, and saying,
right,
okay, you know, we heard Oakland, some of the concerns there. We heard about Washington and some of the other areas. We have concerns. It's time.
Yeah, the information we're getting now is that there is a group that is going to have a peaceful demonstration, I believe tomorrow sometime, an alternate to the Occupy group, basically Humboldt County citizens who are saying, you know, we are in support of local government, we're in support of ending this occupation issue, and they're the idea is to show support for that, and that's what I'm understanding tomorrow, that this is supposed to be taking place in the afternoon, and I really don't have a lot more information on it, only that I know at first it was supposed to happen today, but apparently it's going to be tomorrow sometime, that there's going to be a group of citizens, Humboldt County citizens, that are going to make a public display of how they feel about this whole issue and be much more supportive of local government and law enforcement and the actions that they might take to end this occupation.
When do you think the fences are going to come down around Jimmy's lawn?
Well, the plan that I know at the county level is they were put up for restoration, obviously, of that area that had been so severely damaged. And now that we're in the rainy season, there's no intention of taking them down because of how fragile it is, and that there probably will be sometime late spring before you see those come down again to really ensure that that grass in that area has a chance to revitalize.
It just looks so tacky, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I suppose having that is with the grass is better than not having it, right, and having a mudslide there all the time.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
How significant is the security around the courthouse?
What do you mean by that?
Well, was it 5-6 years ago they had to put in the
screening?
Yeah, for everybody except for the selected few.
Yeah.
Which still is kind of weird, because I would think that if you were going to be really needing to do something, that you would probably be able to figure out a really easy way to get in. You know, meet one of those folks in the parking lot and escort them.
The security is I'm not going to say it's been intensified. It's just that they've gotten much better at what they do. So the screening areas are still being used, and they're still, we have screeners there all day long, and they seem to be doing a very good job of monitoring who's coming in and out of the building. And there's only two entrances, 4th and 5th Street side. Most courthouses only have one entrance. You know, we have two that we have to deal with because of ADA issues and that type of thing. So, but I think it's being adequately handled now. I think they're doing a good job in screening and ensuring, courthouse security.
One of the things that was really disturbing for me is hearing the reports as they were kind of evolving Saturday, breaking into the city hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then rummaging through and trashing and causing damage. Could they do that at the courthouse? Could they make a bum's rush if they want? If there was, like, say, well, I know they were saying 2,000 down south, but let's say there are 500 people. Could they just overwhelm both entrances?
Sure.
And what would happen at that point?
Well, I mean, we'd be faced with an occupation issue inside the building, which would squarely come under the jurisdiction of the sheriff, and we would have to then deal with a group that's probably, locked down, which would make it much more problematic to clear the area.
Kind of like the old days?
Yeah.
What were those things called, those V things that they would put their
hands on? They call them dragon sleeve, the sleeves. They were a sleeve of some kind. They had different names for them, but they could go in and lock down. And we became very good at adapting as far as to remove them without harming anyone, and we still have that ability. But, they keep improving the mousetrap, so to speak. Another metaphor, huh?
Yeah, that's all right. The cheese is bigger now, baby. Do you have any concerns of any of the county buildings being subject to that kind of a surprise attack?
No, I don't think so. I'm actually kind of amazed that this type of activity didn't take place at the federal courthouse. You know, it is private property where the post office is. I mean, but I'm amazed that they picked the county courthouse. I imagine because of visibility, but
might be afraid it would fall down. Isn't that one of the unreinforced masonry buildings that was supposed to be fixed up 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah.
I wonder how that one's under the radar screen.
I don't know.
I just have to wait for Tyson to come in and talk to him about
there you
that
go.
With that kind of enforcement. Yeah, because you would think it would be a federal rather than a county office,
right,
or at least a state.
Right.
But, yeah, you're right. It has. The thing that's curious for me also is why always 5th Street? There's as much traffic on 4th as there is on 5th.
Well, it's the main entrance to the courthouse. It's I think visibility's better there. It's warmer on that side.
Oh, gee. KINS, News and Information Time, is 4:31. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the County Fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the Lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the Lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampist to begin removing the Lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, last, two, three months ago, we were talking about some of the shift in the responsibility, and I know that you guys really appreciated the fact that the state was fair catching, notice the football analogy.
All right.
Fair catching the whole concept around who gets to deal with the jail, who is in the jail, and trying to wash their hands free of any financial responsibilities associated with this relocation of folks back to the county jails. What's the status on that?
Well, it's part of the whole state realignment. It's part of what's called AB 109. And what's going on right now is we are feeling the impact of this realignment with the Department of Corrections, where we've anticipated a number of fresh commits and parolees being retained in county custody or in some county-run program through probation or whatever, to deal with their sentences. Instead of going to the state prison system, they're kept locally. So out of that, we still do get some state parolees that fit in that criteria that we were housing at the jail. But this is a broader thing than just the jail. Probation is heavily involved. In fact, Bill Damiano is the executive for our group, our executive board dealing with this issue. And it's very program oriented, you know, finding programs that are alternatives to actually serving time in custody. So there are programs that are being set up between probation, mental health, and the sheriff's office. Of course, the sheriff's office is expanding its SWAT program, Sheriff's Work Alternative Program, and expanding. We're looking at ankle monitors, that type of thing.
But these are still the folks that were they were heavy duty enough before that they should have been pumped down to the state prisons?
Well, what has happened, instead of looking at the person's history, they're taking a snapshot of the current sentence. So they may be sentenced for what is considered a low-risk crime or a misdemeanor crime, which fits into the criteria to be held at the local level. But their history may be so extensive that they actually, if you looked at their history, criminal history, they would fit into the higher category, which would necessitate them being in a state prison system.
So it's more of a frequency issue than it is a severity issue.
Right. So what's happening is we are having people kept locally that 5 years ago would not have been. If you look at it in the simplest form, the idea of someone serving 3 years or less for a low-level crime, does it make sense to hold them locally? Well, yeah, in the realignment scheme, yeah, it does. We can do it. We can do it cheaper. We can probably do a better job than they do in the state system. But what we're finding is the opposite of what the history of these people that are being held. So it is problematic in that sense, because we're putting them into a county system, which is different than a state system. Our county jails are not constructed anything like a state prison. They don't have the freedoms, believe it or not, in the county jail they do in the state system, where they have the exercise yards and the ability to get out and do different work projects, where in the county jail, that's where they stay. So
there's no library or anything.
Well, we have all that. We have educational programs that we offer, but they don't have quite the work type of projects that they can get involved in, other than we do have inmates that work in the kitchen and the laundry and do the laundry, that type of thing. But we don't have the variety quantity of programs that they can work on while they're being held. So someone that's now being held for been sentenced to 3 years will do a year and a half, because in the county system, it's day for day. You serve a day and a day is forgiven. And so they serve half that time, but still, that's 15 months. And in some cases, with some of these running concurrent sentencing, there are some counties that are now experiencing people being sentenced to county jail for 20 years. So they'll serve 10. 10 years is a long time in a county system.
Special conditions or special allowances for that, or just recognition that somebody's going to be there that long and one cot is going to be warm?
Right. Yeah, there's no special considerations we can make there. They'll stay in one place unless they rise to another category, which would necessitate moving them to a higher level of security, you know.
Any thought for, like, the expansion of swap-like programs for some of these folks, so that instead of just hanging out, at least the community might be able to receive some benefit?
Right. Some of our proposal to our main community corrections partnership group that I'm part of was the expansion of our SWAT program. So we've added an additional van, equipment, and an officer to take. So we have three crews going out a day instead of two. And that's going to be a big boost for us. We're going to try and increase our wood project so that people that aren't sentenced but have time to work off can work on the farm or work on the wood project and that type of thing. So there are other alternatives.
Those who would qualify are not known for wielding axes.
Well, they get a safety briefing and they're versed on how to do what they've been tasked to do.
Or the personality profile part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:41. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, is 4:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, as you're looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, I would think that some come from Sacramento, the legislative stuff. Some just kind of surface, I guess would be the simplest way. We talked a little bit about water diversion, a number of shows back. Okay. People have been pulling water out of the rivers and the creeks for probably as long as people have been living by rivers and creeks. Is it the fact that it's being taken? Is it the fact that there is no permit? Is it the fact that they're putting back in some really nasty stuff? What is it about water diversion that gets you guys and gals fired up?
Well, you know, speaking locally, there has been the issue over the years with things being introduced into our water, groundwater, through the cultivation of marijuana and other things. You know, I can remember when I worked the marijuana unit finding vast amounts of fertilizers and insecticides in and around watersheds and of course, washing down into the main rivers. I mean, that's nothing new, but it seems to intensified in some regards. The other thing is, you mentioned it yourself, water diversion. There are studies out there that talk about water levels dropping in the Eel River, and they attribute some of that back to these illegal marijuana cultivation operations and the amount of water being diverted to sustain those.
This is outside of the water diversion of the old hydro plant from 100 years ago.
Right.
Addendum or additional to that.
Right, okay. Right. And so it has affected many of the streams and waterways in the county. They talk about the water becoming warmer and the fish not being able to survive in warmer water. They talk about, you know, the shading of the rivers, not like it used to be, trees being cut. You know, that is all adds to it, but also the lack of water or things introduced to the water that would raise that temperature. Those are all issues that factor into that. And yeah, there are. I mean, now that the salmon are somewhat making a comeback, it's important to protect these watersheds, and it's not happening. I think we talked earlier about a flight I took this fall, looking at some of these illegal building pads that have been made to put structures used for the cultivation of marijuana on. There is no soil erosion efforts being taken at all on these, and all that silt then washes down in the river, which adds to the problem even more. So it's a real issue, not only in Humboldt County, but there's a case up at Scotts Valley up in Siskiyou County where it was a historical water diversion by a farmer. It's been done for years. This ranch has been in the family for 150 years, and he was actually taken to task by branches of the federal government because of they said his water diversion was affecting fish habitat. And actually, the diversion he's been doing is a diversion that's been going on for 150 years, but there are additional influences that are also diverting water and bringing the groundwater down. But since his is so visual, you know, he's the one that's being looked at.
And probably pretty easy to find from historical records, too.
Yes.
Everybody knew what was going on.
Right.
Rather than some of the sneaky ones. Are these diversions, Mike, really large, real visible, easy to see? Or do you just see maybe a 3 or 4 inch black PVC dropped in and it's got a huge motor somewhere else and it is just pulling up everything?
Yeah, that's a lot of it. I don't think they're that visual as far as if you're flying over them and you see some big operation diverting water, but you figure if you have in one watershed, you have 20 or 30 people doing the same thing and plugging into the same watershed, it's going to divert the water pretty quickly.
So is it the diversion of the water? Is it what the water is being used for? Or is it the contamination of the water after it's done and is either returning into the groundwater system or flowing down back into the water that it was taken from initially?
Yeah, it's a combination of all of the above, I think. You know, the water being diverted obviously, you know, lessens the flow down into the main tributaries, but then the compounds that are being used is leaching back into the soil and back into that water system, and it's a vicious cycle is kind of what we're getting to. And some of this stuff that has been out in the land for all these years is still decaying and leaching into the soil. You have diesel issues that are for, you know, grows are being done out there, and that fuels are leaking in also. So it's a real problem.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to figure out some way to take care of it. Of course, there's no quick fix, but
yeah,
some general directive for you guys.
Right.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
We've been talking shop with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.